Hi everyone and welcome. It is the big one. It is the Christmas special, 5 days after Christmas, of the Club Racing UK podcast. I'm your host.
Good evening.
Robert. I am your host, Robert Lewis. We've got Stefan Marsh and Nick Holmes, the usual gruesome twosome, and we have got some awesome guests on today. It is the big one, let's be honest. And we start off with Mr. Callum McDougall of HRX. Evening, everyone. How are we all doing?
Evening. There he is. Hi, guys. Evening, Callum.
Thank you for having me.
Very well.
Nice to be with you again after 6 months of sort of freedom.
As free as we should be, I suppose.
We got some racing in. That's the main bit. Let me just adjust my camera. It's gone a bit off key there.
All that matters, a bit of racing.
There we go. We got a bit of racing in for 6 months. We will be covering that on today's podcast. But the main reason we're here, let's be honest, we are going to be covering the CRUK Save of the Year competition with none other than commentating legend, Mr. Ben Edwards. So we'll be bringing him onto the show shortly to have a small chat about how things have gone for him and then bring you through the contenders before revealing our winner, who will receive the best prize ever, the lucky underwear from HRX. Isn't that right, Callum?
Indeed it is. Indeed it is. And a very fitting prize, I thought it would be.
Oh, it's a fantastic prize.
Fantastic. Already we've got the comments coming in. Patrick Seale, Vicky Pratt, John Maudsley, Jamie Peter Ennis and Matt Cleary have joined us onto the show. So evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us.
Good evening, everyone.
Not going to lie, I'm a bit nervous for this, but I've never been so excited for anything in my life other than going racing.
You'll be fine, mate. Don't worry about it. Look on the bright side. If it gets awkward, I can just do this again.
You and that singing jumper.
So I found out after I bought this jumper that it sings. So if there is a deathly silence, I'll chuck that on for you.
Fantastic.
Problem is you can't turn the bloody thing off.
Well, we're looking forward to an entertaining evening with that. Ricky Walker and Mario Neofutu have all joined us as well. And I'd like to wish everyone a Merry Christmas as well from everyone at the Club Racing UK podcast. So let's get on with some news roundup before we let's get the news out of the way. The BRSCC have forged a prestigious new alliance with the Aston Martin Owners Club to run their 2021 race program and beyond. They've quoted as saying, "We've added some exciting and excellent new series and championships to our roster for 2021, but this one might be a little bit special." In a landmark tie-up, the BRSCC is honoured to confirm it will be working alongside the Aston Martin Owners Club and its Amok Racing Division to deliver their race programme from 2021 onwards. With such a magnificent depth and breadth of variety across the six series, cars can range from pre-war all the way to the latest offerings from the iconic British sports car brand the club shares its identity with. And there we go. We've got a five round calendar there. Some rather nice circuits on there. And I think it'd be quite a nice time with the BRSCC and coinciding with Aston Martin's return to Formula One.
Good,
yes.
They timed that well.
They did time that very well. Right, in further news, Goodyear Tyres have announced a three-year tyre deal for the BRSCC Fiesta Championship and Fiesta Juniors, kind of concluding their takeover of many club and major series in the UK. So they're on the marketing for some reason. They've just decided, sod it, we'll come back and do some motor racing.
Are they going to sell them to the competitors at a decent price?
That's right? Good.
Yeah, no comment on that.
The
thing is, we all know it's Dunlop. Is it literally they just go around the back of the truck, just get the rubber out, right? Not the tire rubber, a different rubber. Just scrub the name off, right. Good, we are on there really quick. That's more or less what it is. I'm sorry. Do I sound facetious there, Nicholas?
Just a touch.
I kid. Talking about tyres, furthermore, we actually move on to the Classic VW Cup. They've announced their champion, Alex Kite, in his rather lovely prepared VW Vento. We have got a picture of it, I believe. There we go. Oh, what a lovely car that is.
I love that car.
Shouldn't have the champagne bottle on the bonnet. That's quite dangerous.
I was going to say.
What's going on there?
And, yeah. And they've also announced a deal with MRF Tyres, but it won't be the control tyre. They've just... I don't know just what happens there. Yeah, it's another deal. I guess they just sort of sit there and go, well, you can use this.
Yeah, I've seen that. I think the... I did see in the discussion group the other day, I think it's Track Attack has also gone over to MRF tyres as well.
Yes, they have. They have.
But it's... I think you can use a few different tyres, but...
I think to be fair, it's the right way to go if they're genuinely just saying, right, okay, we've got these tyres, you can use these if you want. They might cost you X amount, but if you can get cheaper, you can go and get cheaper. I suppose it depends what you set up for your car. Although famously, Callum, wasn't the Frugal McDougal nickname because of buying used tyres?
Yeah, well, I'm actually that goes back beyond my involvement. So, I mean, my father raced for many, many years, and he's a Scottish accountant. So, you know, as you can imagine, there was a stereotype before he set foot in the paddock. But he got it when he was racing in Sports 2000s. One morning he came out to his car, and his fellow competitors had written Frugal McDougal down the side of his car. As I understand it, he was going to one of the teams that was running somebody else who would put on brand new slicks for qualifying, and my father would then go and buy his now thrown away qualifying set to run for several races.
Why not?
Yeah, nice.
So that's where it came from. I thought it was a very nice way of continuing.
Mostly why not? I like that. That, to be honest, mate, that kind of sums up club racing, because you can guarantee in most paddocks there are a few competitors that are doing that to save the pennies and race on a budget. And, you know, I do know of a few people. I know AJ Owen, he races on old slicks that, you know, looks for the guy that buys them in bulk, buys them for a couple of hundred quid at the most, bangs them on his Civic and wins the 03. So it can be done. Now, obviously,
his entries to the Save of the Year competition as well.
Exactly. hopefully, we may see him on the show later. But of course, we will find out in a second. First of all, obviously, everyone today has got further news about tier restrictions in the UK. But I want to bring the positivity of COVID back to club racing. Lyddon Hill Circuit has had to give up their Christmas, especially the staff there, to test drivers that were stranded due to the French border closures. The army performed fast-track COVID tests, and food and drink were provided in the paddock on site. And that, again, says to me, once again, motorsport is out there helping the general public and trying to help fight this damn virus. But again, it's if the staff are planning, you know, if they're giving up their Christmas, you can't
absolutely
help
it. No, you absolutely. High five to them and everybody who's still out there fighting it and getting involved. And
exactly. To be honest, I think I did see an article earlier on. They were back doing it again yesterday or today.
Yes, so, I did see that.
Yeah, so they're continuing to help, and the more people like that do like that, the more we'll raise our hands to them, because that's fantastic.
Yeah, well done. So, I was eating a Christmas turkey, so I was all right. But those guys are keeping the backbone of Britain going, so well done.
Exactly, fantastic. And once again, well done to everyone at Lyddon Hill Circuit. Some quick comments. So we've got Jonathan Bevan. Evening all. Nice to see the top man, Callum McDougall. He did message me, Callum, and say he'd worked with you before.
He did, yes, yeah. So my previous entity, I was selling caterings, and when we originally set up that business, we shared a showroom with Jonathan when he was playing classic cars. So, fond memories back in those days.
Fantastic. Andrew Scott.
Just one thing, hold on. You said you used to work together.
Well, we worked in the same building.
Was it working for you, Callum, or was it just attending?
Oh, no, it was definitely working for me. I was trying to find my way somewhere. Jonathan, less so. I think Jonathan was just playing around. I think he's had his career already, haven't you, John?
Exactly. Okay, a few more quotes before we move on to the main event. So Andrew Scott, Wayne Jackson, Maxine Nichols, they've all messaged in to say hi, guys. Hi to you guys. Jamie Peter Ennis, could the MRF thing be due to the wide variety of wheel sizes, making it harder to have a control tire? Maybe.
It could be. The problem is, for me, you either have a controlled tire, one tire that everybody uses, or you open the floodgates. Having a select few, I don't know, it doesn't...
Exactly.
Doesn't, I don't know. Because one of those tires will be better than the rest of the tires, surely. So there'll still only be the best tire out of the, I don't know, three or four that they give you the option of.
Do you think exactly. It depends a little bit on the class of vehicle? I mean, I know from a few years ago when I raced in the track day championship, there were very, very different types of vehicle racing in the same race. And on the particular control tire that was allocated at that point, some of the bigger, heavier cars had real problems with punctures. So perhaps, you know, you'll have different tires that work better for heavier cars, rear-wheel drive cars, light cars, heavy cars.
Yeah, that's a good point. That is a good point.
It's a very good point. I'm sure we'll see in the next few years when it. The thing is, tire. I can't even really say tire wars, but it generally moves around, doesn't it? You will get one particular company will give it a damn good go with everyone for a few years, and then another company will step in. I think Toyo really have been the consistent one all along. They've always sponsored a select few series. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how it goes. Okay, well. That leaves me with no further option, really. We've covered the news in the roundup, so...
you can't put it off anymore, mate.
Okay. It's okay. The nerves have calmed down because I did say in the preview that this gentleman has probably commentated on 80% of the motorsport that I've watched when I was growing up. So it's a very, very familiar voice in my household and someone that I'm honoured to talk to this evening. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you commentating legend, Ben Edwards.
Hi, guys. Hi. Nice to see you all.
Hello, how are we doing?
Yeah, good. Thank you. Good.
So as well as having fun judging the contenders for the CRUK Save of the Year, you haven't really got much to do now, have you?
Oh, I'm sure I can find plenty to do, but it's a different time for me. Obviously, I'm still keeping an eye on what's going on in Formula One, but definitely it's taken a step back, and we'll see what develops. But interesting times, definitely interesting.
Taking some time out in the Formula Fords, I guess.
I hope so. Yeah, I'd love to. Yeah, I'm hoping to get out a few times this year in the Formula Ford. Funnily enough, I was liaising with Martin Short over the last couple of days, and he, the man behind Roll Centre, who's raced at Le Mans, and he's gone back to having a Formula Ford as well now. So I'm looking forward to racing against him at some point.
Oh, brilliant.
I don't know. Perhaps I could do a Formula Ford Legends series somewhere.
Yeah.
Gets all the old guard back in. I'll go and watch that, certainly.
Well, Tiffany Dell has one. You know, there seems to be a bunch of commentators. Tim Harvey has one.
So yes.
I saw Tim Harvey out in it last year, wasn't he? He was out in one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's certainly a niche there, boys. I just want to touch on your racing career, Ben, because I was doing a bit of research as I normally do into guests that come on, and there's still a video on YouTube of Formula First, which was, of course, a championship that you won in 1987. How cool was that series?
And it was a bit bonkers. It was a hell of a series. That was the very first year, and everybody was still getting used to the cars and getting used to what they were like, and they were quite a challenge to drive in some ways. They were single seater, but they had the engine was mounted transversely at the back, so they were pretty sensitive to turn in, and they could kick sideways pretty handily. But it turned out to be a fantastic. I mean, I couldn't afford to do. I was thinking of doing Formula Ford, you know, racing national Formula Ford, but I couldn't really afford it. But Formula First was something that came along and was much more affordable for a while, and just gave an opportunity.
Yeah, the quoted price on the video I found, £6,900. It was a Ford XR2 CVH engine, like you said, mounted as transverse. Van Diemen designed, but licensed to Brands Hatch.
Yeah, it was Van Diemen designed and built, basically. But Brands Hatch, John Webb, the man behind Brands Hatch at the time, he came up with the idea, but it was very much a Van Diemen design. So, as I say, pretty basic in terms of what was available. But it was fun. It turned out to be a pretty interesting series.
Fantastic. And to be fair, you raced against some very notable drivers in that series as well. The likes of Sean Hollenby, Kelvin Burt, Chris Goodwin, Eugene O'Brien, all names you would have seen on BBC Grandstand at some point, racing in the likes of touring cars. Sean Hollenby still in the touring car paddock now. So, and then you moved on. You raced against the likes of Mika Häkkinen and Alan McNish and David Coulthard, who, of course, you would commentate with in the BBC Formula One coverage in Channel 4. So what kind of got you into the broadcasting?
Well, that was I was working at Brands as an instructor on the racing school. And while I was there, I started doing a little bit of commentating with Brian Jones, you know, the voice of Brands Hatch, and sort of just assisting a little bit on some of the series that I knew pretty well, like Formula First, for example, when I wasn't driving. And he was the one who really encouraged me and said, look, you're good at this, you know, do a bit more of it. And he stuck me out at the comm box at Westfield when they were on the long circuit. And there used to be one there, sadly not anymore. And that's sort of where it began. And at the time, I was still juggling wanting to be a racing driver, wanting to be a pro. That didn't quite come off. But at the same time, the commentating started to sort of get a bit more serious. I started doing some stuff for Eurosport, and it grew from there.
Oh, fantastic. Brilliant. So you covered the Formula One for Autosport in the mid-90s. I do remember vaguely, obviously I was quite little then, listening to yourself and John Watson on the broadcasts. And I think the racing that I watched you in sort of commentate on the most was when you made the move to ITV's British Touring Car Championship coverage. And I kind of went through the most memorable sort of things you commentated on there. So you had Plato's 60th win to beat mm-hmm. Andy Rouse's record, the Honda teammates taking each other off. The bit that I remember there is just your commentary. They're in the lead for the lead. No. And it's just the panic and watching Matt Neal with his head in his hands. And I'm like, you're just grit.
Well, that's the thing, you know, you guys know what it's like when you've been in those car, in any car, when you've been out there and you've been racing, and the emotion that is part of it, even though when you're actually driving, you're trying to cut that all out. You're trying to focus on what you're doing and not let it get to you. But it's still there, you know, it's still inside you. And often it sort of comes out later. Oh, yeah. But when you're commentating, it's important to get it out now. You know, that's what it's all about.
And but also
just quickly, Rob, on that subject of the Hondas taking each other out. Did you see that interview the other day with him and Jason Plato? On the Late Break Show.
No, I haven't seen that.
I didn't. Oh, see, that was a brilliant, because they were saying how they had all the Honda executives there. They had employees from Honda there, but they were actually only allowed to race for like the last, I think it was two or three laps.
Yeah.
So they were just waiting for the 1-2, waiting for the 1-2, and it was literally the last two laps that Matt Neal went, no, I can take him here. I can take him here, and it went horribly wrong. Yeah. They had all the Honda executives there and everything. So
it's typical, isn't it? It always goes wrong at the worst possible moment. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. That was an
amazing incident. Yeah, and the Plato Matt Neal, you know, rivalry. That was so intense. Yeah. You know, that was a good one.
That was probably apart from Hamilton and Rosberg, that's probably the most intense rivalry you've had to commentate on.
In some ways, yeah, it probably is one of the most intense, actually. Yeah, it was a bit bonkers at times, I have to say, but it was impressive, yeah.
Fantastic. So you've had a chance now to peruse over the CRUK Save of the Year nominees. So what do you sort of define as good in that category? What are you looking for?
Well, there were some great ones there, and actually it was pretty hard just to sort of bring it down to five that we really thought were right up there for the win, because there were so many good ones. And I think what matters to me is the save being a save, and getting yourself out of trouble. We've all been in situations where, you know, sort of half a save and you end up on the grass, but then you get back on again and you kind of sort it out. But I think a save is about getting yourself back in onto the racetrack and back into the event and not losing too much. You know, you might lose a bit of time and a bit of places, but you're still going. It's about the physical reaction to what's going on and, you know, how you deal with it and how it looks from the onboard footage, how competent it is, how capable. There's so much. I mean, that's what's great nowadays, of course, is that everybody has onboard footage to be able to show us all this stuff, which is, you know, why we didn't get that opportunity always. But I love seeing it.
Fantastic. So how are we going to do this, guys? Do you guys, you're going to reel them off one by one? It's right.
Well, you wrote the script, Rob, so...
Yeah. I did write the script. It's up to you guys. The thing is, I'm in the hands of it. We've got him on as a guest, but Ben, I'm in the hands of an expert this evening, so...
No, I'm not an editor. I'm not...
Okay. Well, I know there's a number of people watching that are going to be quaking in their boots hoping that they've made the top five.
Okay.
Well, so, this is
so we go with our first nominee, and that is AJ Owen at Silverstone.
Okay.
So if we could just play the clip.
And the great thing there is he did actually stay on the tarmac. You know, they were so close to ending up in the grass. And it was that kind of double whammy effect. You know, it started, the first save was good enough, but then it went the other way and then he managed to get that back up. That was a good one.
Fantastic.
See, I love the fact that he kept it so calm even after being at like 45 degrees, still managed to drop it down a gear and still made the curb on the exit of the corner. I thought that one was brilliant.
You the exit curb there, though, in cars at the pace that we drive around, and you don't get that far.
That's true.
If Ben, he's efficient. He likes to use all of the tarmac. Now, I did get a quote from AJ. So to explain this, he put quite simply, he had way too much entry speed and too much inside curb. I had just passed the very quick M3 of Dave Griffin on the previous lap, and I wanted to get a good gap before the hanger straight. So I braked as late as I could, carried as much speed as I could through the corner, but clipped the inside curb, and the video tells the rest. Though it was gone, he still doesn't believe how he managed to catch it and carry on without losing a place or leaving the circuit. Happy days. And he still can't get the code brown stain out the pants.
That's just him bartering for a new pair of underwear, isn't it?
Yeah, wink, 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 nudge, nudge, Callum. Okay. Well, in that case, let's move on to nominee number two. We have Carl Hitchin at Mallory Park in the Bark Saloons race. Have you got the clip for that?
That one's impressive as well, isn't it? And it's through the famous Devil's Elbow at Mallory Park. Yeah. You know, what a classic name as well. And it so nearly hit the wall, didn't it?
It did.
I think if he had any hair on the front of the car, it'd have shaved it clean. But
it would have been off. Yeah.
So I again approach Carl for a quote. So he explains, coming through the John Cooper S's, being chased by an M3 and taking a defensive line into the Shaw's hairpin, it looked like he was attacking for position on the Honda in front of Andrew Smith. Pulling away from the hairpin and trying to stay in the middle of the track on the approach to Devil's Elbow, he didn't see the oil flag. He hit the oil spilt from the Finsport Fiesta, lost it, shaved the wall, somehow kept his cool trying not to over-rotate the steering wheel and caught it back feather in the throttle. At the last second, it snapped away from the barrier. Relieved he'd not smashed it up, he put his hand out of the slider of the window to give people watching a royal wave, to which they clapped and cheered.
I can imagine.
I was going to say, yeah.
But to be fair,
that looked quite cool as he was sliding then. And unlike the previous video of AJ with his spaghetti hands, Carl just seemed to just sit there and almost accept the fate that was coming, but narrowly avoided it.
I think cool. You've like in the first video, you've got the cool spaghetti hand, so he's still doing that. And in the second one, you've just got this image of the driver just sat there with a completely serene face, just
just waiting for the bang.
I tell you what, we've got another one coming up where it is very cool on board, I have to say. So yeah, that one we're saving up.
We are saving up. Now the third one, I'm gonna get a groan from Stefan and Nick here because it is the two CVs. We have Luca Proietti at Brands Hatch in the two CVs. Let's play the clip.
It's a short one, isn't it? But what I love about that one is the fact that it's so perfectly lined up on the exit. You know, it's absolutely perfect.
I mean, I raced two CVs for a couple of years. Ben's
Did you rub though? We didn't know that. Yeah.
Ben's probably the only person that doesn't realise this, but
I did at Snetterton.
Yeah, did. But the fact that it's fast enough that he managed to power slide a two CV.
That's a good effort.
Now, as usual, I did ask him for a quote. So he explains, we were in qualifying. I had a fewer slower drivers in front and thought I need to get past them. So I lunged down the inside of all four cars under brakes, off the wet line, turned into the corner and just felt the rear of the car slide. And I thought, I'm heading into the gravel. Hit the brakes and waited. It wasn't until I got halfway down Paddock Hill, probably about a minute later, that thought I could save this. So he planted the throttle in the car, turned it back around. Result.
It was a result. Nice. I mean, he got it absolutely right, didn't he? I mean, it was perfect the way it just lined back up onto the curb and straight back up the hill.
It just carried on.
And again, the tyre profile of the profile on the track of a 2CV is probably about the width of a fag paper. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
It's a bicycle tyre. And Mario Neofito commented. Mario Neofito has commented, is it the Jason Plato in the 2CV? Because it looks a lot similar to his move with Johnny Adams.
Yes. Yes, that was. I was there for that.
That would have been one. Did you commentate on that one, Ben?
I don't remember it, actually. I can't remember that one.
I'm trying to think. Was it the Plato was in the Lassetti? So it must have been 2009.
Yeah, that was later on.
Right. Okay, right. Nominee number four. We have Oliver Batten. We're going continental with this one. This is at the Nürburgring. If we can just play the clip.
I tell you what. What really grabs me about that one is the fact that he's on the Nordschleife, he's on the old circuit, and there are, you know, barriers on both sides, very, very close to the car. If it had gone wrong at all, he would have smacked the barrier hard on either side. He went to full opposite lock and just timed the release perfectly. That was lovely.
That was, yeah, some good skill involved with that one.
That was fantastic.
If there's one place you don't want to crash, isn't it? You always hear the Nordschleife is not somewhere you want to crash.
No, it isn't. No.
Well, you don't ever want to crash, granted, but
I was gonna say,
the horror stories of how much it costs to replace Armco and recovery and all this, that, and the other. Nah, you're okay, thanks.
Well, Oliver Batten comments, I was on the Destination Nürburgring track day with the goal of doing some suspension setup for my Mazda racing car. But that's Mazda with the 7 in the middle. It's the low-cost Mazda. Unfortunately, the day was wet and I was on a year-old AO48. Tried to make the most of the day, but the grip levels can be unpredictable on the ring in the wet. You're not saying. So I spent most of the day sliding around. It's still a lot of fun. It looks it.
Yeah.
It looks it. I think on a greasy track like that, anything in the wet, you're going to be sliding around all over the place. Even a 2CV, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a scary place. I've managed one track day there in a rear-wheel drive car, and it was wet, and it was a terrifying day out. Again, that was the Destination Nürburgring, which is a good organisation. I'd recommend them if you're going to go to the ring.
Okay.
I'd like to do it one day, but I don't know.
It was a Nissan 350.
Not in my country.
Yeah, that's going to be an anvil.
I know someone who's got one of them. I'll ask him if I can borrow it.
As we'll find out later on in the show, maybe not a good idea to let Nick borrow your car, but we'll move on to that. Okay, so the final one, the final nomination, we have Nick Jackson at Brands Hatch in the MSVT Super Cup. We can just play the clip.
You were talking earlier, Rob, about being cool behind the wheel, but that was a real demonstration there. Fantastic. Just, yeah. It was so cool, wasn't it?
That was fantastic. Oh, that was fantastic.
Yeah, we did like and he
comments as well, it was the opening lap of qualifying in the MSV Super Cup. I had held back to try and warm the tyres. All felt good, so I started to push. I misjudged the position of the other Sauer on the left, carried too much speed onto the entry of paddock for the tighter line being used, and had cold rear tyres. Silly mistake, really, but just pushing too hard to get the lap in early before traffic.
No, but
we've all done it.
The control was awesome.
Absolutely, absolutely. Right. No further. Richard Dodman has commented this evening. He put that was a very Plato-esque save. I assume he was referring to the 2CV. He was there too. I assume he was with you, Nick.
He was, yes.
Something of possibly of interest. Rob Gaffney has commented, just for your information, guys, the old Formula First cars are actually now over in Norway running under the Formula Basic banner.
Oh, that's fun.
I was going to say, like 1987, so well over 30 years ago, 30 years on, and they're still going. I'm quite impressed with that.
Yeah, well, they kept going for a few years. They weren't just the 1987 cars, but they were around for a while.
Okay, well, I think that leaves us with no choice but to crown a winner. So over to you guys.
We need a drum roll.
Well, then,
sorry.
This is entirely your call. You are the judge, and thank you very much for coming on to judge it for us.
Yes, thank you, Ben.
No, it's been great, guys. It's been great to join you, and you know, it's fantastic that you put this together for Club Racing and get everybody involved. It's lovely, and I've really enjoyed watching these clips and more of them. I'm sorry we couldn't, you know, there are so many people who deserved a showing and who could have won this event. I mean, AJ, for example, AJ Owen, who had that moment at Silverstone, there was another one he had at Brands Hatch, which nearly made the top five as well. So he's obviously had an exciting...
he's had an exciting year.
It was a really, for me, it's a really tough call on this because... Those top five were all good. I mean, Nicholas Jackson, the last one we saw, that was so cool, so controlled. It was almost too comfortable. It was just like, oh, I'll do this every lap. You know, it was just so beautifully done. Great car control. All of them were great. I mean, Oliver's one at the Nordschleife was such a scary one if it had gone wrong. Luca in the 2CV as well. But actually, because at the end of the day, you have to make a decision based on your own feelings as well. I had a pretty nasty time at Mallory Park one time myself. I managed to dive up the inside. It was when I was doing Vauxhall Lotus. I dived up the inside of Philippe Adams, who went on to, I think, race Formula One about twice in the early 90s. And I managed to knock off the front wing on my car. I had absolutely no idea I'd knocked it off as I came out of the hairpin. Went down into Devil's Elbow, and guy in front of me suddenly slowed. I hit the back wheel, and of course had no nose protection. It just launched me and threw me into the barrier on the outside. When I saw the Carl Hitchens incident at Devil's Elbow, it was slightly memories of that. But to be honest, I also thought the way he dealt with it and the way that it missed that barrier by such a tiny, tiny amount. And you almost get the feeling he's given up on thinking, oh, I'm not going to get this back. And then all of a sudden he starts to feel it's coming and he just winds the lock off at exactly the right moment to be absolutely straight and to carry on the tarmac. For me, Carl is the winner.
There we go. So the winner.
Well done, Carl.
There we go. So the winner of the Club Racing UK Save of the Year, Carl Hitchin in the Bark Saloons.
Well done, mate.
Okay, so once
new
again,
underwear for you.
There we go.
Remind us on the prize.
Yes, of course. So the prize is a brand new pair of Nomex underwear in your choice of colour, so black or white, whatever you prefer.
We lost him.
You're going to say probably black.
Oh, hang on. Is he back?
We're not here.
Hello, is he back? Callum's back.
I'm back. Sorry, I have terrible internet here. So yes, a brand new set of Nomex bottoms in black or white, your preference, coming straight to you, Carl.
Yeah.
Hello, mate.
There we go. Fantastic. Brilliant. So what that leaves us with, Ben, is to congratulate you on a fantastic career.
Thank you.
So far, you have... Is this a retirement now, or are you looking at other projects? Or
yeah, no, I'll get involved in some other projects. I won't be doing what I was doing, but I'm not gonna retire completely. My motorsport is my thing, and I'll get involved in different ways and different aspects. But so I'll be around, but I won't be shouting out on Channel 4 on Sunday evenings.
Fantastic, and hopefully we'll see you in the paddock with a Formula Ford.
Yeah, love to. Definitely. That'd be great, guys. Thank you very much.
Fantastic. Brilliant. With that, we actually we move on to Callum McDougall. But if you wanted to stick around, Ben, it's completely up to you. Or if you were heading off,
I'm probably gonna head off now, guys. But it's been really, really good to be with you. So thank you very much.
No worries.
Ben, thank you very much for your time on this. Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
Great.
Thank you.
Good luck with it all, and Happy New Year.
And thank you. Ben Edwards. Yeah. Ben Edwards, ladies and gentlemen. Fantastic.
I can say it now. I bet Ian's in the background crying because we've got someone far more famous than him for once.
Oh, my God. I'll tell you what, I've not been that nervous in my life. That was fantastic.
We should just mention as well, Callum, thank you very much for arranging that as well. Because
massive thank you.
That's pretty special to a club for us.
No, you're welcome, guys. You know, obviously I've known Ben for a very long time. Yeah, he's my stepfather, so I could lean on him a little bit. But you know, he's a big club racer at heart himself as well. And you know what you guys have done over the course of the last couple of years, and particularly this year, the way you've stepped up when a lot of us couldn't do any club racing is great. You know, then you deservedly have a lot of followers, and you're deservedly growing at a very quick rate. So to get someone like Ben on, I hope he's is a nice way of demonstrating that to you and your success. Yeah. So.
No, thank you very much. Oh, we told you it was going to get mushy tonight, didn't we?
What that's just done is that ticks something off the bucket list. To meet someone like Ben, that's ticked it off the bucket list for me. So thank you very much for that, Callum. And thank you, everyone, so far for tuning in. But don't go away, because we told you this was going to be a big show. We've got so much more to go through. So by all means, everyone, get your comments in. Tell us about your year, 2020, what you're up to. Comment on what we're talking about. So let's keep going. So, Callum, over to you. So you got some racing in this year.
I did get a bit of racing in this year, yeah. Yeah, so... I've predominantly been doing the KAs with you lovely gentlemen in most of those paddocks, which for us been not the best year, and certainly not as glorifying as last year was for us, where we probably got away with far more than we should have. But, you know, it's been good, and you can't always have successful races. So, you know, getting out there and having a few disasters is all good for building team spirit and enjoying the winning times. And I've also been out in a Caterham this year with my father. We've been skirmishing around just a couple of different series. So we've done a couple of rounds with the Magnificent Sevens, which is a brilliantly run organisation and huge grids. If you want to see Caterham's racing, my word, massive grids. And some of the guys at the front there have the most incredible bits of kit. You know, cars that will do 1 minute 50 around Snetterton 300. Just unbelievable.
Blimey.
So, yeah. So that was really good, and I had to slip in around in the old track day championship at Brands GP. We were all set, actually, if I'm honest. We were going to go with the Mag 7s to Le Mans Bugatti, which, you know, would have been so spectacular. It's such a rarity to be able to race at a circuit like that. And it's, you know, with the endless motor racing that my father's done over the years, he's never been there. So that was supposed to be a nice trip. But unfortunately, missed COVID-19 threw a spanner in the works for us on that one. But we were lucky that around the same time, the track day championship had an entry at the Brands Grand Prix circuit, which again is just a fabulous place to be. And the organisers very kindly let us enter as a guest without weighing ourselves, without power testing, without even the right rubber on. So, it was very generous of them. I'm sorry if we ruined anybody's race. I don't think we did.
Oh, I love it.
Standard Callum right there.
It's like you've raced with me before, Stefan.
to be fair, Callum, you had some ding-dong races with a certain Matt Hibbard in the KAs at the 4 Power Live, did you not?
I did, yeah. Yeah, we had a fantastic it wasn't two laps, I don't think, but we certainly spent an entire lap of Brands Indy alongside each other on differing sides and bumped twice, I think. Only bumped, though. I really thought we were going to have, you know, half a race's worth of doing that, and unfortunately it looked like he sustained a bit of damage in a collision with another car a few laps before I got onto the back of him, which he discovered after our immense lap of being alongside each other. So. Yeah, he pulled in, and I had a boring five laps to the flag,
all by yourself.
But in fairness, I had a great bit of racing in the KAs with Stefan at Snetterton, who really helped me out when I was having some trouble with we were lapping some cars. It was a 12-hour race, so I don't know where everybody was in reality, but I ended up on the grass going down the back straight and got a very strategically timed nudge from the man above me on the screen and slung me past the guy's head of us, which is great.
The slingshot. It wasn't quite a slingshot, but it worked quite well, I thought.
It did. It worked brilliant.
It's quite surprising how good the bump draft works in those little KAs.
You can't call it that. That's not allowed.
Well,
there's definitely not a lounge.
It was an accidental but brilliantly timed nudge.
Yes. Perfectly.
Absolutely. As we all know on the Club Racing UK podcast, we are super serious about racing. Never break any of the rules. No. Nothing like that. All straight down the middle, narrow. Yep, absolutely. Right, guys, I need to catch up on some comments because I'm not going to lie. They're absolutely raining down. So, Carl Hitchin has contacted the show.
Yay!
On the My Supercar page. So, Carl, great save, man. And again, congratulations to yourself. He said, Ben is an absolute legend. We echo those thoughts. Of course we do. He is an absolute legend. Right, more. Sorry, there's so many comments. Craig Abbott thought Nick was the winner, but he may be biased.
Why was I not in the top five?
Did you put an entry in?
Yeah.
We did watch them all. We did, honestly. So Ben and I spent some time going through them all remotely. And we did watch all of them. I do remember. Actually, no, that was the accident, wasn't it? It's when you got hit by somebody else. Yeah.
Yes, it was. It wasn't you,
I didn't make the call as to who made the top five. It was all Ben. He's a far more professional pair of hands for making decisions like that. Of course, I'd have suggested you'd have won, obviously.
Let's be honest, that would just cause uproar, wouldn't it, if we won another competition? We've won some races this year.
I know there's lots of comments. Carl. Well done again for winning. If you've got my Facebook details, which you probably do because I post HRX related stuff all the time, please send me a personal message and we'll arrange that for you. If not, make sure that the organizing guys here have got your contact details and they'll pass them on to me and we'll arrange to get those out for you.
Absolutely fantastic. Sorry, there is an item down here that I'm just going to show off in a moment. But
we do not need to see any items below the screen.
It is HRX related, don't worry. Ashley Shelswell says, well done, Carl Hitchin, great save. Patrick Seal as well, congratulations, Carl. Craig Abbott, well done, Carl. Mario Neofutu, Carl needs brown pants after that save.
He has them
and he's going to need a set as camouflage. Craig Abbott says 2020 was his first season. Thanks to Callum at HRX Underwear and Racewear for stopping to chat at races. Three rounds of Enduro KA. He was sixth at SNETS. The car got wrote off at Alton and he was 20th in the KA 500. Start of a massive learning curve. Thank you to Nick and Jamie at Moores Motors. Fantastic. Sebastian Jones. Well, Luca is going to have to try a bit harder next year. Again, well done to Luca. He made the top five, but every entrant in that Save of the Year competition, it was so difficult.
Yeah.
When we were
putting this together, I think we had something like 48 comments in the end, probably 30 plus videos. When we were planning this podcast, we were like, well, should we take it to 5, 10? It was so hard. Hence why we kind of passed it on to Callum and Ben, because I didn't want to judge it, if I was honest. it was too tough. I mean, for everybody out there, what we got to remember, this is club level racing, isn't it? There's no seasoned pros here, effectively. I know some people have been doing it far longer than others, but we're not professional drivers, so every single entry deserves a high five and a round of applause, really. And like I said, they're just the ones that were submitted. There was plenty more out there, no doubt. We will hopefully be doing this competition again next year as well. So,
well, I can tell you now, we are.
Hey, yes.
There we Thanks, go.
Get your entries in.
So there I we think... go.
Get your 2021 entries in.
People need to get their entries in. So if Club Racing UK can start a new official post stream for people to stick their videos in, we do want to see your videos. But they do have to be from 2021. You can't throw in all your 2020 clips. So
that goes for you, AJ Owen, who's had bloody hundreds of them this year.
Just type in AJ Owen, Brands Hatch, Paddock Hill Bend, and there'll probably be about three or four where he's got the car completely sideways and then straightened it up again. He's an expert at drifting.
So next year, we're going to have the clerk of the course at most races telling people off, and their excuse is going to be, well, I was just going for the CIUK 2021 Save of the Year. Right? Is that going to pass through? Or?
How many times do we get mentioned in the clerks of the course office?
Literally, that's going to be it. We walk past the tower and it's going to be like, oh, you lot. Okay, yeah, okay. Yeah. You lot getting the penalties in the KA next year. It's going to be a drive-through penalty for the most misdemeanors. The innocuous stuff, right?
I don't think it will be KAs next year. By the sound of it, they're going to have way too much grip to be sliding. But who knows? We're yet to be proven wrong on that one.
Just, there we go.
A lot faster, Callum, into these corners and then lose it.
Yeah.
More spectacularly.
Barely use the brake
now. Okay, guys.
We're going for the double roll next year. Not just a single one.
What? Is that Frugal Racing going for the double roll over themselves again?
Ooh. It wasn't us. It wasn't us. It was Wingat Racing that had the accident.
Just quickly, Callum, Carl Hitchin has come back to us. He's going to pass his details on to you. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
Carl. So, right, let's go back to some comments because there's literally loads absolutely flooding in. Paul Doolan, the first one was for him. So, again, there's lots of people putting their opinion in. Jamie Peter Ennis, the last one was magnificent and by far the best one. Kev Straw, great podcast. Keep them going. Thank you very much for your kind words, Kev. I put a lot of love into these scripts for the podcast, and we do it for you guys. That's the reason we do it. So
another competition winner.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, Kev Straw won our Motorsport Days suit giveaway prize. So well done, Kev.
I like it.
Fantastic, fantastic. Ah, he did say, so big hello to Callum. Can't wait for his new race suit. Matt Cleary, I spent all my money on my boys' karting this year. My racing will have to wait. Well, I suppose if it's the next generation coming up and through, that can't be all bad. Jackson, Callum's a top man and taught me back into racing after being retired for 14 years. There we go.
That's that salesman. That's the salesman in him, that is.
Yeah, we've been hooked by that one before.
Yeah, exactly. Duncan Harris, three engines in my Mazda MX-5 Super Cup, but highlight chat with Ian due to the Club Racing UK sticker. Fantastic. Good to see the stickers are earning their keep.
Yeah.
Damn right.
Jamie Peter Ennis has commented, how about the four of you do Fun Cup?
He's paying for it.
I was going to say, that's,
Jamie, have you paid? No. I'm up for it.
Do you know, so Paul Rose, who runs Fun Cup, has a prize. If you turn up and win your first race, I can't remember exactly what the prize is, but it's a substantial cash prize that pretty much pays for your event.
Really?
Nobody's ever won it. Nobody has ever won their first race. Perhaps we should take them on.
Should we?
Again, who pays for when we fail at that miserably?
You.
Not me.
Yeah. I'm running an old Ford next year, mate. I can't afford that. Anyway, Chris Mayhew loves Club Racing UK. Well, we love you too, man. Just keep watching the podcast and keep liking the content. I'm sharing the love this evening.
I love this.
Andrew Adanowitz. He put a couple of emojis in there, but yeah, good evening. Hope you're well. Kev Straw. Hope to be in the KA Enduro at Donington in April in my new HRX that I won from Callum. Wayne Jackson. He was the one that rolled the car at Paddock. Didn't want to let the team down, so I bought a car from LDR and we completed the race.
I thought that was mega. When we caught up with you, Callum, you were like, oh no, we will be racing. It was like,
what? We've had a confirmation. The prize fund is 10 grand.
10 grand.
Ooh.
Excellent.
10 grand. So there we go.
Oh, and that pays for one round.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know exactly how much it costs. Ask Paul. Paul, if you're watching, tell us how much a round is. And are you prepared to sponsor Club Racing UK for a round for publicity?
Yeah, there we go.
There.
That'd be good.
You won't be watching.
Not going to lie to you, though, Paul. You'll need the whiter seat for me. I've got a bit of girth. Anyway, moving on swiftly. We have our first comments about the Christmas jumpers. Mario Niufitu. Loving the Christmas jumper, Rob. I want one. What this is, ladies and gentlemen, this is the best Christmas jumper from the best Christmas film ever made. It is, of course, Die Hard. And I know it's 5 days past Christmas, but we don't care.
Yeah,
there he is. I just why did I stand up? I could just use... Oh, there now that we've got a massive audience as well. Hold on. I've got something for everybody.
Again.
How's that, everyone?
The views are just tumbling now.
Okay.
And if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, we have not gone to 8-bit. Okay. We have not gone back to the 80s, okay?
That's the point, actually. We haven't done this is not an audio-friendly podcast again, is it? We've just been doing video clips of the saves of the year, and everyone's going to be listening in their cars going, what's going on?
They're going to be listening in their cars going, you know what? That Ben Edwards can commentate on those video clips really well.
He can.
Imagine that, a national institution on our little podcast. I still can't believe it. Back to the comments. Patrick Seal, Jesus, now Callum's trying Nick's trick of trying to blag a free ride. If you don't ask Patrick, you don't get.
Exactly that.
James Peter Ennis, the criteria is you can't have raced a Fun Cup anywhere in Europe, and if you win, it's your 10K prize. Well, I haven't raced a Fun Cup before. I'm probably too fat for one. But I'll have a go, you know, if I could get the sponsorship. Chris Mayhew, hopefully see us in TDC next year. That is the plan. We will cover that later on in the podcast. We have mentioned it before, but you're certainly going to see all three of us on the TDC grid at some point next year, whether it's maybe in a Ford. Yeah, maybe four. Callum, you getting the Caterham back
maybe
out?
Maybe four. Maybe four. No,
if I'm honest, I have no concrete plans for next year yet. I'm going to play it by ear and see what the score is.
I don't think anybody's had a concrete plan this year, have they?
No. Yeah.
And again, we'll cover that later. Right, last comment before we move it on. I've just realised we've nearly been on air for an hour, but it is a bumper episode. Jonathan Bevan, I won a competition to race the Fun Cup for Auto Express in 2003. They paid for me and I ended up at Spa in the 25-hour race. So there we go.
Oh, nice.
You didn't win.
Okay, Callum, we come back to you, sir. So tell us about HRX's season.
Yeah, so if I'm honest, it's been a much better year than, you know, I think a lot of us thought that we might have when I was last on your podcast. So, you know, I think we're all very lucky that motor racing was categorized as a sporting organization and that we therefore had dispensation to go out at the weekend. So, although, you know, obviously lockdown happened right in the middle of peak season for us, we were able to recover a lot of what was lost over the summer period. But if I'm honest, I'm really pleased. You know, a lot of there's respect. Just throw it on the bed.
Yeah, it's about this day. Look at how we just threw it away.
I haven't got enough lead to reach round, so I might garrot myself if I make it off. But yeah, you know, carry on anyway.
A lot of this season has been about brand building, and you know, HRX, that they make fabulous products. And yeah, there's another one there. Yeah. And, you know, we really have expanded into a lot of new areas. Our online configurator, you know, for me, I'm very proud of, you know, that's, you know, when I took over this role, it was obvious that there was very little available to the club racer without spending a fortune. And there was no easy way to do it. So, you know, we built this online configurator, which allows you to get on and design your own suit, design your own boots and gloves, and lots of my products flying around in this screen, aren't they? That's good. I've done my job. For me, you know, it's as much as I could have asked for this year, and you know, next year we're pushing on to newer, bigger, better things. There's a huge overhaul coming to our website in the coming weeks. Some of it's already out. We've released 7 new suit designs, which are now available on our configurator. And we will very shortly release a new complete range of karting apparel, both embroidered and sublimated, which offers unlimited customization options. So all that's coming. And team wear. Again, you know, we've worked closely with British F4 this year in developing our new range of team wear. We have another partner in Electroheads in the karting scene that we've been working with to produce these products. And that's something that will go live to a wider audience next year. So we can sort you out with some proper Club Racing UK kit.
Potentially. Watch this space.
Watch this space, everyone.
There we go.
Can I have a HRX Christmas jumper for next year?
Yes.
You should do that. Aggo, if you're watching, as you said you would... We need HRX Christmas.
Come on, Aggo.
Yes, please.
Woolly hats.
Yes.
So let's have a look at the summary of club racing overall this year. Just quickly, there are two comments that have sat with me because unfortunately I think it may come to fruition. We'll have to see. Jonathan Bevan, I think people actually didn't stop spending on racing this year, but next year we'll see the true pinch. And Nicholas Jackson has agreed with that. Next year is going to be the real test for club motorsport. Yeah, we hope that's not the case. But We have to be realistic here.
Well, again, if we all stick together, we all try and help each other out again.
Exactly. Sorry, Callum,
You're
making sales on here as well, Callum. There's a comment here saying that Jay Finley would be interested in 2021 teamwork.
Excellent.
See, there we go,
thanks for the commission.
Look at this. Well, we are being the glue that brings people together.
And absolutely, as you should. Now, obviously, at the moment, I've got a Christmas special on. So, you know, all of our configurated and standard products are 10% off. Suits, we're doing made to measure for free. So if you want a custom made suit at no extra cost, you can need to get that by the 10th of January. And boots and gloves get free logos as well as a 10% discount. So so all that's on at the moment. But after that, if you move into next year and you are a fan of Club Racing UK, Club Racing UK themselves are able to provide you with a special discount on all HRX products. So speak to one of the three gentlemen also in this room if you'd like to receive further details.
I don't buy it.
God, dear.
Look at that.
You could sell snow to the Eskimos, couldn't you?
He really could. He really could. Okay, guys, we've got a summary of the year of club racing overall, the good and the bad. So I've picked a couple of points. We'll discuss with you guys what you guys think, and hopefully we'll get loads more comments flooding in. So the good, I've got overcoming the COVID menace and getting racing going again. The rise of club endurance racing with the likes of Club Enduro, Road Sports, Track Day Trophy, Track Day Championship and Club Sport. Everyone seems to be going endurance racing nowadays. The Motorsport UK response as well, I've put that in the good column because, let's be honest, they did promise a fair amount of money, got the PPE and offered to help out the clubs. So what do you guys think? What's been good about Club Motorsport this year?
Well, go on, you go first, Steph. Go on.
I'll put it down. Also, has been good is the heightened exposure of live streaming. So, obviously, because we can't attend circuits and stuff like that. So, everyone is tuned in to people such as My Supercar to get their motorsport action, which I think has been great, isn't it? It's definitely improved all their viewings and all that.
Yeah. It's made it more accessible as well, hasn't it?
Like, more accessible, also, stuff like esports, because we did on the first lockdown, I didn't partake in it because I don't like Project Cars 2. But Nick did start up an esports type thing, which went down pretty well, didn't it, Nick?
It did, actually. Terrible. Didn't it, Callum? Terrible driving standards. That Ad Smith, he was awful. Who was he?
There we go.
Toad, wasn't he?
To be fair, I did all right in the Xbox lobby. Bloody hell. It's not all about PlayStation.
Your internet wasn't broken.
My internet was. We'll put that in the bad column, all right?
Yeah, that's the bad column. Yeah. Rob's internet.
Rob's internet.
Until I moved house, Rob's internet.
You are absolutely right, Steph. You know, the e-racing stuff is picked up massively. And, you know, one highlight in particular, okay, it's probably not quite club racing, but they did the virtual 24 Hours of Le Mans, which was an enormous event, and it's been staggeringly successful. So, you know, I think it's given real credibility to the entire industry, and no doubt it's going to soar from here on in.
Yeah. From a personal point of view as well, I did a sort of an offshoot Clio Cup championship. And with it, I met some good fellow club racers, the likes of Paul Harvey, Sam Pierce, Graham Crowhurst, Scott Thompson, Alex Neville, all different racers with different backgrounds. We all have the same passion. Funnily enough, we're still in a WhatsApp group called the Racers Lounge, and we all chat about racing and everything going on. So, again, we'll put that in the good column because...
We still managed to chat and swear at each other and take each other out.
Yeah,
and fantastic. It didn't cost any money, to a degree.
Exactly. Yeah. Anything to add, Stefan?
I also put down, you know, I put down our podcast. I don't think I think that kind of did start more so because of the whole COVID thing. Because we started on, I can't remember what it was called now, with Ian on My Supercar and his little chat where he was speaking to us all individually, and it started from then. So I think that's a positive that's come from that. But I more mean it in the fact of that other people from Club Racing have managed to, in this period, do other things via social media as such to expose themselves more, not in that way, but to, you know. I'll leave it there, shall I?
Yeah.
Hey, look, yeah, a man's got a paper, he's racing some
other ways to advertise themselves.
Yeah, there we go.
And
Mario's commented well. That's a sweet comment, Mario. Thank you very much. He's put in the good column, the Club Racing UK podcast. So I do appreciate those kind words. It's something that was dreamt up at Autosport last year, and who'd have thought it? End of the year, and we've got 19 episodes in and had some cracking people on. Isn't that right, Callum?
Yes, you have.
There's been a few exceptions.
Nothing really, really, really. We know what I this next year, though.
Nice.
Hoping Callum would be there and we could get our revenge on him.
Well, that's probably a good thing. So you don't waltz me into a casino again.
What?
There we go.
But Lawrence, from a commercial capacity, it is a real shame that Autosport's not going to exist this year. Yeah. Although I have to say, actually, if you're going to throw in the good column, a few organisations have put a lot of effort into trying to keep things going. And, you know, I would say a shout out to Ben Wibley at Motorsport Days.
Yeah,
he's put on an excellent live virtual replacement, which is a two-day gig. You got a lot of guests on, got a lot of people talking, and I think that was very successful. And both he and Autosport have announced a virtual show, if you like, which will both be happening next year, in which you literally come into a virtual show, you know, like the Autosport show, yep, where you can sit on tables and talk to different organizations. And we're going to be taking part in that. The MSD one is on the 14th of January. So that's worth tuning into. If you're looking to, if you maybe looking for a way into motorsport and there are a few different people you need to talk to, or you want to talk to clubs and raceware suppliers perhaps, or exhaust or engine builders or tyre manufacturers, yeah, or whatever. So there'll be a lot of people there where you can hopefully get a lot of answers very quickly. From a personal standpoint, I've worked at Autosport for many years, and it's tough. If anyone who's worked there will know it's a tough 6 days, really, by the time you've done it, particularly when you end up on a night out with the likes of you two.
Yeah.
Don't give me that. You had a nice cozy hotel to sleep in. I had to sleep with him in a van.
Yeah, you did. In a car park.
In the car park.
I could just remember pulling up to the van to meet you guys after I'd stayed at my grandmother's. Bless her, 82 years old. She baked a load, massive tubs of fairy cakes for us to have on the stand. Nick was hanging. And as we got to the stand, I opened the tub on the first one and he was like, I've got to go. I've never seen him run so fast to the loo in all my life.
I was done.
It was so funny.
I was done.
Nick hungover is funny.
I was a broken man that weekend.
You were a broken man.
It was a cracking show, though, wasn't it? Like,
it was very good. I mean, it was brilliant for us, as you know. It was a dream, wasn't it, really? And to actually stand there, we was kind of in awe of what was going on. But hopefully, we'll be back here one day.
Yeah, we will.
I'm sure Autosport will pick it back up when times allow.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay.
We'll get a hotel next time.
Okay, guys, just trying to move it along a little bit. I begrudge putting a bad column because it has been a unique year. Some of the grids have been down. The two that I kind of picked, the Mazda Motorsport Club, the Type R Trophy dropped off big style towards the end of the year. Anything that you guys want to add to sort of put in the bad column?
COVID.
The only thing I've got was not enough racing.
Fair enough.
Missed out on Cadwell with a KA. Nothing.
You know,
that sucked.
If I'm honest, I'd try and avoid anything bad. I think genuinely, I think the entire industry, and not just the racing industry, but all industries, have put so much work into coming together to support people and keep everything running. There were always going to be some casualties with what's happened this year, and you know it's a shame it's a shame that some series did lose, you know, swathes of the grid. But it's also true that a lot of other series had record grids this season, particularly immediately after lockdown. And although, you know, it was tough and a lot of people had rounds cancelled, I would suggest if you wanted to, the vast majority of people were able to get nearly full calendars in this year, which, to be honest, you know, by April, I thought was impossible.
Yeah. I thought it would be game over. And if you put it into perspective, there was a lot of people complaining about, oh, I can't go racing. Oh, the BTCC's taken this race from us. But bear in mind, we are in a global pandemic. and we still went racing. So when you kind of put it into perspective, I quite like that. There is no bad thing. We still got to go out and have fun.
So in that note, we're going to delete the bad column for this year.
Cut that from the show.
Let's move on to more positive things. Just quickly, we'll do some more comments and then move on to a summary of Club Racing UK's 2020, which will be quite entertaining, don't worry. Jonathan Bevan, think we have been lucky to race at all, witness some great racing, and even managed to get our Honda into the 53s at Brands, which took 3 years.
Good stuff.
But 3 years is a lot longer than 53 seconds. I don't get. Oh no, it took you that long to get the lap. I get it now. Yeah, okay.
That's a lot of laps.
I
get dizzy after a few.
I was going to say. Exactly. Yeah. Craig Abbott comments, the podcasts have kept me smiling while driving food around the UK during lockdown. Thanks to the CR UK team and all the amazing guests. Again, thank you, Craig, for your kind words.
That's great.
It's something we put into with a lot of love. Right.
I hope it all makes sense on the audio rather than not seeing the video half the time.
Yes. We'll come back and watch it on Facebook. Lawrence Davey, thank you for the entertainment this year also. Thank you very much, Lawrence. Thank you.
Hope your ankle's better.
Oh, he's got a bad ankle, has he?
He sprained his ankle at Brands, or just before Brands.
Oh, dear.
And don't forget your mini challenge drivers need new suits.
Callum's just like getting them all down now. Okay, guys, so we have already covered how awesome the Autosport Show was. It's surprising to think the Autosport Show was 2020, and it was where it all started. And Nick was due to race a Hyundai Coupe Cup car. Until what happened?
COVID.
Yeah.
I was literally 3 days away from trialing the Hyundai Coupe Cup. And it's a series I've been wanting to race in for years. Loved the series and got the opportunity and it didn't happen. So that can go in the bad comments. But that's stuck. Although, because we were going to look at doing with our race car reviews and things like that. So that was going to be our first little project of not only going and racing, but we were also going to do a huge promotion for it, like we did with the 116 trophy. We were going to promote it. We were going to show everyone how easy it is to get involved. And then it just all got scuppered, annoyingly. But we'll do more of it next year, fingers crossed. So
there we go.
Yeah. Sure.
Anyone wants us to come along and review their cars or series?
Series, championship.
Send us a message.
And so we move to March. Boris Johnson sits there and tells the nation, you have to stay at home. And we all sat there and got very bored for a few months. Until that glimmer of hope in July, where we descended upon Snetterton for the first weekend of the year.
It was.
We went racing. And to play the video now, this happened.
Ha ha!
There we go.
Love it.
We didn't play the first bit because we thought the dogs at home would go absolutely mad. We didn't think Stefan's voice would go any higher. But a team of what was essentially 5-6 people. Stefan Marsh, yeah. Matt Hibbard, Nick Holmes, Jay from Vehicle Tech Mobile, Phil Neal from Solar Motorsport, who joins us this evening. Evening, Phil. And myself descended upon Snetterton and won the 12-hour race on the first weekend back.
I know, right? Look at that. We won our first bloody race, boys.
And if you want it, that picture's in our CRUK calendar. £13 on the website. For one.
Oh, Stefan Marsh. Well done, sir. Yeah. That was... You've been hanging around with Callum too long.
I have, yeah. Sounds like technically come on.
There we go. Well,
no.
I thoroughly enjoyed racing you for that.
That was...
The problem was, our comms had gone wrong. So I had no radio. Yeah. So they were using pit boards. And then I knew that your car was behind us, very close. And then they failed to bother to put the pit board out for the remaining lap. So I had no idea where it was, where you was. I was convinced I was second or third. And then I saw the P1 as I crossed the line and didn't even think it was our pit board.
For the viewers who have no idea what any of us are talking about, who weren't at the race that the long video was played about, that was the 12 hours to Norfolk in the Enduroca series that's run by MSVT. And it was down to the wire with 45 minutes to go. With the Cub Racing UK car and the Frugal Racing car within about 12 seconds of each other. And sadly for me, the Frugal Racing car was involved in an incident which sadly resulted in its destruction.
A little incident, wasn't it?
And Club Racing UK brilliantly won their first race. Well done.
Thanks, man. To be fair, though, I was in the pit lane, and because you weren't driving for the last bit, were you, Callum? It was
no.
Were you in the last bit? No. So we were to and fro, weren't we? We were literally like on the edge of our seats. We knew. I think we had one more pit stop. And it was going to bring us out pretty much bumper to bumper for like the last 20 minutes, I think it was. So we were really going to have a proper dicey race. And then unfortunately, a mistimed safety car kind of helped us, really, didn't it?
It did. Yeah. It gave you guys a healthy gap. And
I think we got a lap on you then, didn't we? And then put you in amongst the middle of the pack.
Nearly, yeah. So your last pit stop under safety car gave you a good sort of 40-second advantage or something.
Yeah.
And then there was another safety car 10 minutes later, which brought us sort of half the pack away behind you, but all stacked up in a queue. So, yeah, Mike Murray, who was in our car, would have had a lot of work to do to get to Stefan, if I'm honest. So I think you guys probably had that wrapped up anyway, but it was close. It was close.
It was a good race. It was a very good race.
Patrick Seal says, great result again, guys. That was the first weekend we met. Of course, he was one of our ambassadors this year.
Yeah.
It seems like such a long time ago, and I can't believe it was only this year. It was only 6 months ago, Patrick. That's the funny thing. It feels like a lifetime. Now, Phil Neal has given us his ultimate 2020 flashpoint, and that was when Nick was showing his boobs to the entire modified Ford grid on the pit board.
Not these boobs.
We don't need to see them.
Funny you should mention that, Phil. It's also in our 2021 Club Racing UK calendar that you can purchase from our website for £13.
There we go. Jonathan Bevan does say he's still waiting for his hat.
It's on its way.
Yes, Jeff.
That's usually my answer.
I know. It definitely went to the post because I took it there, but I think it was, I can't remember what day it was, just before Christmas, so it should be with you soon.
Exactly. Right, quick couple of comments. Chris Pratt, we need team wear for our season in the Pirelli Ferrari Formula Classic. Try saying that when you're pissed.
I'll send you some Cub Racing UK t-shirts.
Fantastic. Matt Cleary, you bring racing dreams to the common people. That's the aim, bring club racing to the masses.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Fantastic. And so from that, we move on to Alton Park. We finished fourth on the road, or so we thought.
Wow, I mean, that was a dicey race. I don't know. If fate had been on our side a bit more, we could have been a lot higher. But
I reckon we could have won that one as well.
Fourth on the road.
There we go. Exactly. So you finished fourth on the road. The team in first place were disqualified for having an underweight car. So Club Racing UK got the podium. Second race in a row, second podium. Fantastic.
Oh, yes.
And there's the two handsome guys here. As Nick wasn't driving, he inherited the team manager role. And from that, we left Alton Park and descended upon Brands Hatch for Full Power Live. And there was a bit of a bonus there because Mr. Plough turned up. That's right. My car turned up and raced in the most beautiful, varied grid of modified Fords you've seen for a long time. It was a packed grid.
I have to say, that was probably the best looking grid of the year. That should be an award for next year.
There we go. And that's just you guys trialing out the new aero developments for the KA.
Should definitely allow. That looks gorgeous.
And unfortunately, didn't get signed off by Stuart this year.
Yeah, unfortunate. But of course, after much piss taking from the guys this year, as you would have heard, four laps into my first race, I threw it off at Surtees, broke my engine mount, broke my spitter. Cue the laughing from the guys inside the pits. I retired, came back in race two, undertook under the safety car, and got 2 points on my license. It was a good comeback.
We so should have put the onboard on him, because all you can hear is Nick laughing when you realise your splitter had come off in the pit.
I should just point out, because
he was more busy laughing than he did to actually kind of sort the issue out.
Well, the best, if you actually watch the onboard, the funny thing was, is he pulled in, I looked under the car, I was like, ha, your splitter's under your car. And instead of going and getting the jack and helping out to remove it, I went and got Matt, who was sat at the other end of the garage, and made him come and look so we could all laugh together. And then we got the jack and tried removing it.
Cue much piss-taking. But the next onboard I want to show you is from one of the most entertaining races Callum and Matt Hibbard have probably ever had. Was just one lap.
Oh, you got it? No.
Maybe. Possibly.
Please?
Nick, quick, get your song out. Get your music on, Nick.
Oh, wait.
No.
Deathly silence. Hold on, wait a minute. Oh, I've got this covered.
No. I'm gonna... It's a Club Racing UK.
Don't worry, guys. I've got it covered.
Okay, we've had it confirmed by our backroom team. Unfortunately, we haven't got the snippet of the race four highlights.
But okay, hold on then.
If you do have some spare time, get yourself onto the Club Racing UK YouTube channel. Subscribe. We have some great content on there. Also, the Rob Lewis Racing with Club Racing UK YouTube page as well. I'm going to be getting some more content on there as well. Hey, it's my podcast. I can show off my page if I like. Anyway, moving on. We descended upon Snetterton again because Nick was invited to race in the BMW 116 Trophy at Snetterton and Alton Park.
Yes, I was. Mm-hmm.
So there we go. Have we got a picture there somewhere?
There it is.
Yeah, there it is.
So, say again, Callum.
The red one.
So that's before Nick drove it, I take it. It looks straight at the moment.
don't you bloody start. Actually, that was after I race it. There's a reason the bonnet's up.
Very true. Touche, Nick. Touche.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, it wasn't the 116 debut that I wanted. The car developed an issue during qualifying, but it was massively down on power. We were like 10 miles an hour slower than every other car. But we still soldiered on. We still did our little review video, didn't we, Steph? And hopefully put on a good show for everyone to see why they should get involved with the 116 trophy. But it was a mega series. There was, I think there was about 25, 28 cars there that weekend. Gorgeous sunshine. Absolutely beautiful sunshine. And we were, Mark Bate was amazing, inviting us along for it. And we were graced with the presence of
Ray Grimes.
That's it. Sorry, his name slipped my mind there. But yeah, listening to some of it, I could have just, to be honest, could have just sat in my van, listened to him telling us some of his stories. What a bloke!
That was a legendary moment right there.
What a bloke that guy is. If anyone who knows Ray Grimes, just what a guy. But yeah, so unfortunately, it didn't end how we wanted it with a retirement. But yeah, cracking series. And thankfully, I was invited back again later on in the year for Alton Park. So.
And that was very wet, wasn't it?
Very soggy. Very soggy.
Soggy.
I was mildly moist, to say the least.
Mildly moist. Now, Nick, do you want to talk about your other discrepancies this year?
Well, as this is a podcast regarding racing,
okay,
I would suggest we stick to racing, but we skip the bad comments out, so I can't really say why my 2020 was pretty bad, to be honest. But
moving on, there we go.
To be fair, Steph, I said to him earlier, I said, you know, I've been teetering on the edge of why everyone keeps laughing about me crashing cars and stuff like that, and I think there is a good reason, isn't there?
Didn't I read something about stricken BMW quite recently?
Yes, that was my BMW was broken because I'm just great at buying cars. But no, that wasn't the problem, Callum, at all.
There we go. Well, Nick doesn't want to talk about it.
A certain somebody's Mercedes. Let's say that much.
He broke it very, very badly.
Yeah. So, in a nutshell, I've been bankrupt this year. No. I've been bankrupt this year to get rid of all my debt of 36K, whatever. Just getting my financial situation sorted and then decide writing off Matt Hibbard's AMG A45 in the middle of the New Forest was a brilliant idea.
Oh.
Yeah. So,
get the music on, Nick.
Oh, shit.
There we go.
I hope you sent him a Christmas card.
No, I did not.
God bless him.
Yes. Moving on,
Chris Slater comments. Did you park it in the mud like Callum did the last time he drove one on about the 116 trophy?
Oh.
Hello.
Yes.
Let's hear this story then.
Anglesey last year, the RAF boys very, very kindly invited me to come and guest drive with them in the 116 trophy cars for the Race of Remembrance, which was honestly a fantastic experience. It was one of the standout moments of my racing career, if you like. Not that it's a career. But no, thanks for that, Chris. I really appreciate that. And I am really sorry that I got it stuck in the mud. And thank you very much. If you're a Martin watching this, who pushed an RAF-coloured 116 trophy out of the mud at the hairpin, which is turn two, and got absolutely covered in mud, that was entirely my fault. And I'm really, really grateful for you and all the other marshals out there who do such a fantastic job.
Hey. Well said. Well said, Callum.
And we echo those sentiments. So Nick 100%. Had finished with the BMW 116 trophy. We won't say anything at all about adventures in the New Forest. And we descended back to Brands Hatch for the KA500. And unfortunately, we were running really well until brake problems forced an extra pit stop.
Yeah.
It was really annoying. We was at the time, I think I was in second. I was chasing down the leader. I'm not kind of sure what hour it was. I think it was 4 or 5, something like that. Yeah. And we were chasing down the leader, and then all the cars I've just overtaken started going back past me. And I was like, I'm not really doing anything wrong here. What is going on? The car's just getting slower and slower and slower. And then the guy's got on the radio, said the brake light's on constantly. And I'm trying to lift the pedal up with my foot and all sorts, and it's not having it. But we had to pit eventually. And some part of the mechanism was seized up, got it fixed in about, I don't know, 3 or 4 minutes. But a few laps down by then, round.
Yeah, unfortunately, after a pit stop. And to be fair, it was lucky we had Matt's old man with us, really, wasn't it? Because he said he'd seen it before, where the KA's got a bar across the firewall, wasn't it? With some hinge points, and it just seized up. Just C's solid, so something for you to look at on yours, Callum.
Yeah. Make sure it's well lubed.
Look at that on that. Well,
between teams, again, there you go.
I'll defer that piece of advice to Mike Murray, who pretty much does all of the work on our cars. And again, I'm entirely grateful for him also. You don't want me surrendering a car.
No, why ever not? But,
you know, it's fair to say, I mean, you know, the endurance racing scene, you know, one of the things you touched on earlier on has been awesome. You know, a lot of people are moving into it. And, you know, without wishing to give Ad Smith too much of a shout out, they actually did an amazing job at Brands. You know, Ads threw it off into the gravel spectacularly. Yeah. Well done, Ads.
Yeah. I think he was leading as well, wasn't he?
He was leading, But, you know,
he was leading. He was leading.
So he had three laps stuck in the gravel, and the Octane Junkies team and Moores Motors, who ran them, dragged them all the way back to win that race in the last 5 minutes.
The last 5 minutes. Yeah, because the guys that were leading
got a penalty.
They got a penalty, didn't they?
You're right. They got a drive through. And of course, let's not forget Barwell Motorsport, Motorsport running Lamborghinis, but
Barwell Garage.
You know, those guys, you know, Turning Taylor and and Kessel, and I'm sorry if I don't know enough driving that car, but you know, they dominated that race and had a
that should have been their race.
Yeah, that was devastating. So I'm sorry for them. But it's endurance racing. But it's what it's all.
That's how it is.
Mm. There we go. So from Brands Hatch, the season seemingly ended. We had another lockdown. And as we said in the previous podcast, we managed to get two more weeks of racing in before the end of the season. So, 2021, I'll be racing in the Track Day Championship, fingers crossed. Stefan will be racing in the Track Day Championship and in the KAs, fingers crossed. Nick Holmes will have a couple of guest drives in my car and race wherever he can, I would think.
budget pending, really, for me next year.
Fun Cup.
For a bit of fun cup.
By the sounds of it,
And Callum will be doing the best job he can for HRX and racing himself at many circuits, I'm sure. Callum, what are your plans for 2021?
Again, if I'm honest, it's too early for me to be able to make any plans. But, you know, I very much intend to be back out in the KAs and have a slightly better year of it than we've had this year. And, you know, I very much intend to get back out in the Caterham. And, you know, if that means that we can stick around in the Track Day Championship and join you guys, then we may well do that.
Do it.
What? P?
He's going for a P.
There we go. So Stefan's lasted just over an hour and a half before he's asked to go take a leak.
I think Club Racing UK,
I was going to say, Club Racing UK are setting records this evening.
I think that is a Stefan Marsh record.
That is a Stefan Marsh record. Yeah. Okay. So before we go on to viewer numbers, we're going to, because there are a few thoughts that I want to give and I'm sure the others want to give, and we've got to wait for Stefan to have a leak. So let's look at some comments. Phil Neal, we know why he had a bit of a crap year. Yeah, Phil helped us out. He certainly helped myself out massively with the car. So a big shout out to Phil at Solar Motorsport and with the KA as well at the 12 hours as well. He was there to help and achieve the first win with the team, and I think he's got another KA that he's tinkering with at the moment.
He is, yep.
And he's got the strong arms out. He's in the workshop. He's cracking on. And I've got a shout out from Ruby, I think. There we go. Ruby says hello. Oh, okay, Neil. Thank you very much. Hi, Ruby. Mario Neofitu, I might join you, Rob. He fancies a bit of Track Day Championship as well. Mario, if we can go back to the days when we were in the pre-05s together, I would love that.
There's a relieved face.
There's Steph. It's a bit about 2 stone lighter. So, Jamie Peter Ennis, you guys have done a fantastic job with the shows. Thank you again for your kind words. I know I haven't watched them all, but it's really nice to have a proper club racing chat. Thank you for the encouragement with regards to my ARDS test, which for those that are friends with me on here will know how much it means to me doing it. Not long now, just 39 more sleeps. And just think, Jamie, tomorrow it'll be 38 more sleeps. So good luck with that. And more importantly, let us know how you get on. Let us know where you're racing. And maybe one day we'll get you on the podcast as a guest to tell us all about it.
Just tag us in your posts. Hashtag Club Racing UK, hashtag CRUK, or even just use the little at sign, Club Racing UK, and it comes through to us and we can share it with the world.
There we go. Okay,
we've reached over 5,000 people on Instagram now, so now it's going mental again. That's frustrating, isn't it, Steph?
Jonathan Bevan has commented as well. Jonathan Bevan comments, Jonathan Bevan comments, let's see if we can get Callum in my Honda this year, even if it's a test for Club Racing UK.
Yeah, I'd be up for that. Definitely.
Hold on. Callum's not getting the drive.
I was going to say. Jonathan,
constantly.
Jonathan, if you've got any good insurance.
pissed off.
No, by all means, any reviews or anything that we can help out with, even just to come down and see you guys and the way you do things in your particular series, we're always there to help. The one thing that we are going to try and do next year, COVID permitting, is actually take the podcast on the road and do some live shows at a race circuit. That's what we want to do. That's why I created this, to get us out in Forza and the Dude style. Live audiences, talk to you guys about club racing. So again, watch this space.
Yeah, that's it. Once we're all allowed to mingle again, we'll have like a live audience, get some race cars around us.
Exactly.
Sofas and stuff, and have a good old...
Watch out, Top Gear.
Exactly.
Yeah. Sorry, Top who? Never heard of it.
There we go. Phil Neal comments, the Focus should be running mid-January, hopefully. Yes, Phil is going to be out in Class C of the Modified Fords this year in his Ford Focus 1600. Mario Neofitu, I would love to go out racing again, Rob. Great times. Nobody else I'd rather race with or against. I'll tell you what, that was the cleanest racing I've ever had with another competitor. He was a 2017 champ, and then unfortunately, because of budget, he couldn't race anymore. I was gutted. Craig Abbott, 2021, he's doing Enduro KA as Team Bear Racing with Moores Motorsports. Hope to get out in the Moores Mini for maybe a track day championship round or two and finish the build on his R53 Mini. He thanks Stefan for his advice on the Mini as well. So there we go. Now, at this point, we're getting towards the tail end of the show, so it's time to bring in another celebrity. Someone at the forefront of TV coverage of club motorsport in the UK. I introduce to you Ian Waterhouse of My Supercar.
You introduced the second best celebrity we've ever had.
I want enough.
In a fan board every time Ian comes in.
Okay, Ian, you're going to tell us about the viewer numbers this year for My Supercar, aren't you? Internet permitting.
Music, Nick. Oh, no, wait. Awkward silence.
He's gone.
He's gone.
They didn't even tell us. We can't even fill in for him.
Ian Waterhouse. All year, this whole podcast has been run absolutely effortless by the My Supercar guys, and then in the last 2 days, Ian's internet has gone to pot.
He is. Patrick Seal has commented, is Ian on Sky Broadband?
I think yes, he is.
He's back.
I am.
Ian.
I am, and I cut out earlier.
Here's a bit of consumer advice for everyone. Do not get Sky.
Can you?
Dangerous line.
Ian's good.
Callum, what was you filling up that glass with, rather?
Water.
From?
A jug, a filter jug.
That is extremely posh. A filtered water jug on the podcast. I don't think it should be allowed.
Okay.
Well, I'm keeping my professional hat on, so I'll leave the alcohol until afterwards. But I've got a nice glass of mulled wine waiting downstairs for me.
Exactly. Ooh, is Ian back?
He's back again.
Ian, are you back?
Can you hear me?
I can.
Yeah.
We can hear you.
You can hear me? Great, but you can't see me.
We can see you.
I won't move. I tell you what, Sky is really doing my nutting the last few days. I've had a few issues the last couple of days. Unbelievable.
Do you know what?
But thanks for the intro.
Fantastic. Okay, Ian, so reveal the massive viewer numbers for My Supercar this year, because it's been an impressive year for you guys.
It's been a whopper. And can you hear me all right, guys, just before I waffle on and talk to myself and realise no one can hear me?
Yeah, just about.
Here we go. I'll quickly just say 2019 was our first year. We did 97,000 views and we thought that was good. This year, these are the numbers in motorsport. 500,000 people have tuned in to our live stream content this year. Look at that. So thank you so much for everybody. Some wonderful numbers there.
That is an insane so amount.
If you can hear me,
that's amazing.
1.5 million people have gone out to. Now, if you can still hear me, as you know, we have three brands. We obviously have My Supercar, we have Content Live Golf, and we do a property show. In total, for 2020, our total views across all of our channels are 2.7 million people have tuned in to watch us live this year.
Wow.
Bloody hell.
Holy cow.
Over 7 million reach.
That is incredible, man.
Fantastic.
So there we have it. Sorry, my internet's a bit naff tonight, chaps. I'll let you crack on. But thank you to you guys as well. Wonderful. It's been a pleasure. And thanks to everybody who's been tuning in. And we're excited for next year.
Well, thank you very much for this, because, you know, without you guys, this production wouldn't happen, would it? So
exactly.
Pleasure.
Which I will come to after we've revealed the numbers with our final thoughts. If you could just stay on, if you can manage, Ian, try and stay on with us. So the Club Racing UK podcast itself, I totaled up the amount of views across 18 episodes as of the 20th of December. In total, 31,290 views for our little podcast.
Wow.
For watching us idiots talk crap for hours.
Pretty much. Because at the end of the day, when I dreamed this up and put it across to Nick and Stefan, I didn't imagine that we would get to this point. So my final thoughts are this. At the end of 2020, I have a lot of people to thank. Most notably, the My Supercar team. Leon and Elaine in the background getting everything done. Ian Waterhouse for actually giving me the boot up the backside to get this production on the road. Hopefully he's still with us, Ian. Nick and Steph, who I approached at Autosport and said, "Hey lads, I want to do a podcast," and you guys went, "All right, let's do it." And well,
it doesn't take much persuading with us, mate.
That was pretty much the way it went. I want to thank all the guests on the podcast, from the likes of Callum McDougall, who sat with us today, Paul Harvey, Ben Edwards. We had the coordinator, Paul Neville, with the Modified Fords on the show. We've had so many guests on. Of course, our five ambassadors. We've had so many people on, everyone that are willing to give up a few hours of their time, again, to jump on and talk about something that we're very passionate about, club racing. And of course, a thank you to every single one of you that have tuned in the past 18 episodes and that have tuned in tonight. You guys are the reason that I made this. And you guys are the reason that we'll be back in February with more content.
Yes, we will.
So it's a massive thank you from me. And on the racing side, thank you to all the marshals, all the organisers, Motorsport UK for helping us get through this absolute shit sandwich that is COVID. And pretty much thank you to all the organisers for keeping racing going.
Yes, it's been
It's been a tough year. It's going to be tougher. Let's be honest here, guys. It's going to be even tougher for some people. So
100%.
But long may club racing continue.
Well, look, you saying that, yes, the podcast won't be back until February next year, but at the same time, still keep, you know, we'll still keep sharing the content. We'll still be putting stuff out there. coming into the new year. Obviously, there's builds happening. There's people gearing up for their first race seasons. There's people gearing up for their 50th race seasons. We will still be bringing content to you guys. So stay tuned, really.
Exactly. And if there is anything... Sorry, Nick.
That's all right. I was going to just to say, again, a massive thank you to everybody who's contributed towards the club. You know, we haven't got solid figures. We didn't prepare them for the show. But, you know, we've got over 2,000 members in the paddock now. I think we've reached over that on the main Facebook page. We've got over 5,000 people on our Instagram now. You know, we're reaching, 200,000 people a month, something like that, Steph, with our content that we put out. So... again, it wouldn't happen if it wasn't for you guys liking, sharing, tagging, buying our calendar from our website for £13 and things like that.
Also, Rob, are you getting close to the end here?
I am, mate, yes.
Have you forgotten about the competition?
I decided, because it was the Christmas special, that we were going to forego the competitions, but if you want to put them up, sir, it's up to you.
No. Must promote this at all times. So, the competition we have live now at the moment. So if you become a member of Club Racing UK, you can win £300 off your race entry fee for your first race in 2021. Just need to become a member and you'll be automatically entered. Easy as that.
£300. £300.
So, once again, it's our last show of 2020. Thank you to Callum for joining us this evening. Thank you to the legend that is Ben Edwards. We will certainly be missed on the Formula One commentary. And thank you for judging the saves of the year. Thank you to Ian Waterhouse and the team behind My Supercar. I've been Robert Lewis. The other two miscreants have been Nick Holmes and Stefan Marsh. Merry Christmas. Have a happy new year. And we'll see you in 2021.
Happy new year, everybody. We'll see you next year.
Happy new year.
Love you, Callum.